Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to the new Mutual Audio Network. Welcome home.
The following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
Hello?
Is that you?
I think so.
Oh, you're going to make me say it, aren't you? Okay. Is this Jack Ward, my co-host of the Sonic Society, the world's largest and longest-running showcase of modern audio drama?
David Alter, where are you?
Well, when I lost you in the darkness of the forest, I figured the shadows still connected you to the next episode.
I'm here. It's like a old black-and-white show. I've gone all sepia or something.
Oh, hold tight and stay on the line. The sonic screwdriver can get me the rest of the way.
Through the shadows?
That's the plan. But for heaven's sake, don't turn on any overhead lights. It might close the doorway.
What am I supposed to do in the meantime?
Well, you might as well start the feature. From the mystery program, it's The Call of Cthulhu, Lot X, Part 1, The Dark Bidding. And it all begins right here, or rather there.
On the Sonic Society.
Hello?
Look, I'm going to level with you. I have my own things to deal with. After all, we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original cinematic audio drama, exclusively on Nerdy Show.
The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. It contains content that might not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. It's that time again, folks. Another bleak, black evening here at WNRD. One of those nights where the air is so crisp, you could hear a back alley whisper from the next town over. Where the shadows are so heavy, it's like you could fall into them and never manage to claw your way back out. A perfect night for the return of the most nightmarish program to ever grace our airwaves, the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. It's an improvised audio drama that uses Chaosium's Call of Cthulhu tabletop role-playing game and the wits of our very own cast, styled in the grand tradition of an old-timey radio play. And I tell you what, folks, it's all thanks to you and your sick, twisted sensibilities that this program is back on the air. Yes, you cried out in terror, more, more, and who are we to refuse such an impassioned demand? So draw the shades and settle into your chair. Take the long route home, away from the street lamps. The Nerdy Show Network is proud to present an all-new series of the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, a chilling tale called The Terrible Secret of Lot X.
Do you hear that? In the cruel blackness of night, an unknowable evil from beyond time cries out. What dark deeds unfold on the streets of Arkham? And which unwitting souls, innocent or impure, will succumb to the maddening call? The Call of Cthulhu.
Nerdy Show and Black Barrow Coffee bring you part one of the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Tonight's strange story, The Dark Bidding. Awaken from the deepest of slumbers with Black Barrow Coffee. Quality coffee, fit for a king. Black Barrow is made from the finest beans farmed along the Sacred Nile River, an ancient blend that's been satisfying weary travelers for centuries. Amidst the crawling chaos of daily strife, have a cup of Black Pharaoh and you'll come back to life. Summer has come to New England's Miskatonic Valley, and with it, a humid specter haunting the marshy land. Thick, wet heat trapped between the hills, soothed only slightly by the churning river that bisects the sleepy town. But clear blue skies and sweltering temperatures beget oppressive clouds and rolling thunder that strikes like gavels.
Sold to the gentleman with the red bow tie.
The heat and the rain aren't the only forces of nature to arrive in Arkham. Enter Estelle Thorpe, a jarring, angular specimen of womanhood who carries herself like a pacing leopard. Heir to the once great Thorpe fortune, inheritor of the stately Thorpe Manor, she's returned home after nearly a lifetime abroad. In just a few weeks' time, this cunning and unusual woman has set about making the long vacant house her own, filling those silent halls with laughter, revelry, and no shortage of curiosities. Which brings us to North Cape Auctions and Estates, a perfect source for all the furnishings needed to make a house a home, and in a town like Arkham, an ideal place to discover strange and eclectic sundries.
Lot X. Assorted unsold materials from a previous estate sale. Bidding starts at $2. Two. Do I hear 250? 50. Three! 350!
Four! 450! 450!
450. Five. To the woman in green. 550. Six. Do I hear 650?
$10.
Ah, no! No! That thing, it belongs to my body!
Guards!
The Bugs did this to me, they took my brain!
Guards! Escort this man off the premises!
No, let go! Get the go! Please, let go!
This bizarre display only served to pique Miss Thorpe's curiosity, as much as it disgusted a fair portion of the attendees.
Now, if there are any further bids, the item stands at $10. Sold.
Arrangements were made for the two boxes containing Pell Estate Lot X to be delivered to Thorpe Manor that very evening. Outside the auction house, a police Model T sits idle while two officers scan the grounds nearby. As the contented winner makes her way to her automobile, the sore loser steps out from behind a nearby car. His graying hair is an unwashed mess, hastily combed to the minimum standard that would have gotten him in the door. His heavily scarred face is the only thing wiped clean. Beyond that, his flesh is covered in grime around his neckline and ears. His hands are filthy. He staggers forward, his shirt partway open, clutching something close to his chest, obscured by his jacket. This clearly unhinged man has made his first move. Now it's time for Estelle Thorpe to make hers.
He's only a few feet from you. What do you do?
I stand my ground, cautiously.
Look what they've done to me. I'm him and he killed me. That bastard killed me!
Keep your distance.
He is holding something out at you.
As in he's offering something to me, or he might have a knife?
You're not sure. This is a crazy hobo. I mean, you can roll psychology.
I will roll psychology. I have a 60 in psychology, and I rolled a 40.
Okay. Well, he is heavily unhinged. He has not seen proper sanity for a long time, but he doesn't seem threatening, and he proffers something out like he's trying to show it to you. It looks like it's some kind of organ, like a living organ, in a vacuum-sealed bag with strange metal fittings on the end of it, and it's definitely alive and pulsating. Any kind of relevant skill to identify organs, or just a hard education roll, so education have, either one would work.
Well, I have a 75 in education, and I rolled an 80.
You're not sure what this is or where it comes from. It is freaky looking, but you're not sure what he's holding out at you. But it looks like it's probably healthy and alive.
Look, look at what's become of me. I'm Charlie and he's me, but he got me killed. You're gonna die too. That box you bought? Burn it if you know what's good for you. Who cares what you stop? The Ancient Ones are gonna wipe the earth clean. There's no sense in praying to shotguns or fire. He who is not to be named killed those boys, and it's my fault. Just like he's gonna kill you. The king is making his entrance. He'll be here soon for his audience.
I look around.
As you do, you catch some movement out of the corner of your eye, and you see a police officer is moving in your direction. And in that brief moment, as your attention is diverted by that, the mysterious Scarface man begins to scuttle away in a crouched, animalistic gait, using the cars for cover as he makes his way into some nearby bushes.
Charlie, what did you do?
He doesn't seem to be responding, and a cop makes his way up to you.
Ma'am, something wrong.
The man who caused the commotion at the auction. He just stepped into those bushes.
O'Brady, over here!
The officer, he puts his hand on the grip of his holstered pistol.
I put my hand on his arm to stop him for a moment. Officer.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Are you all right? Did he hurt you?
I'm fine, but someone may have hurt him. Something's very wrong. He could be severely injured.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you, ma'am.
He runs off. The other officer is quick behind him.
If you apprehend him, please alert me. My name is Estelle Thorpe.
If they paid you any mind, you can't really be sure. They're in heated pursuit in the direction you pointed them.
Well, after that, I could certainly do with a drink.
You're not far from the speakeasy, actually, where your acquaintances Kenneth and Cherry hang out.
Perfect.
Enter the White Lightning House. It's a speakeasy for high-end clientele, and as you look around, you immediately lock eyes with Cherry Featherbottom. She's the resident singer and dancer, and your friend. She leans over to the bartender and orders you your usual. And further towards the back is Kenneth Roger, a gentleman gambler from Georgia, by way of Texas.
I take a seat with Kenneth.
Got your drink, Estelle.
Oh, Cherry, you're a doll.
You're here much earlier than usual.
Well, as I was just telling Kenneth, it's been quite an unusual afternoon.
Miss Thorpe, coming from you, that's downright stupefying.
Har har.
Deal you in?
Tempting, but I'm just in for a quilt and some kind company before heading home. I place my hand affectionately on the small of Cherry's back.
I take a seat next to Estelle. So what kind of trouble you getting up to?
Only kind I know. Poking my nose in peculiar places. I outbid a lunatic at the auction house today, shouting and raving. Honestly, if he hadn't been so intent, I might not have given the lot much thought.
How much that curiosity set you back?
$10.
Oval was nice.
More of them, oriental doodads?
Maybe. It's the contents of a dead man's automobile. I also bought a lovely mirror, quite ornate, depicting Athena leading the hunt.
Who's the dead man?
Charles Pell. Turns out he was a local importer with a specialization in Chinese goods and recently a rare book collector. Went missing, presumed dead, earlier this year, but I didn't know any of this when I bid. I asked around after the auction.
You've certainly got a nose for it.
We'll see. It's a regular mystery box. More than likely, it's absolute bunkum, though there's more, but I've soured this party plenty enough already. The two of you should come to Thorpe Manor tomorrow afternoon. We can see if I bought myself a treasure chest or a $10 sack of shit. Do come, though. Say, noon? Kenneth, you can make one of those rotisserie chickens of yours you've been going on and on about.
Well, we wouldn't want to impose.
Well, hold on. Speak for yourself. I can play cards any old day, but chicken lunch at Thorpe Manor? Mm-mm. That sounds like a mighty fine time, I tell you what.
Oh, do come out, Cherry. It would be such a delight.
Oh, sure.
It's settled, then. I will see you both tomorrow, 12 noon sharp.
It's early evening when you arrive home. The two boxes compiling Pell Estate Lot X, as well as the mirror, have all been delivered promptly. Anjana, your assistant, had the delivery man put them in the sitting room.
Anna?
Care for any tea, beloved?
That sounds delightful.
The deliveries are in the sitting room.
I see that. Thank you, darling.
There's a manifest.
Let's see here.
Anything good?
contents of automobile trunk, backseat, and glove box unsorted.
Riveting.
It was very in demand.
The first thing that catches your eye is a 10-gauge double-barrel shotgun, finely crafted like by old-world European masters. But in the buttstock, there's a carving, like a burning branch within an offset, irregular pentagram. And it looks like it's been carved by maybe a butcher's knife or something just crudely hacked in there. Alongside that strange shotgun is a box with 8 shotgun shells.
Well, well, Mr. Pell.
Otherwise, the box's contents are mostly foreign knickknacks, many of Chinese origin. There's some poetry scrolls that are obviously very old, an empty kerosene canister, a rather nice velvet bag full of ashy and musky-smelling dust. Also, a number of coins of various denominations and ages. And if you have a good history skill, you can get a sense of when and where they're from.
I certainly will. A 30 to my 60.
Okay. These coins, and then also knickknacks and things like that, they cover a wide area and time period. Looks like this guy collected a lot of weird stuff, and I mean, you see things that date back 1,000 years, like coins from the Middle East, some from China in different dynasties, some Japanese coins and things like that. Coins used by different traders, particularly in the Far East, covering about 1,000, 1,500 years of history. It's not a huge stash, but it's definitely of interest to a collector. These are old.
Very nice. Anna and I are setting everything out on the table, keeping things organized. And the second box?
There's another weapon. This one's a Ming Dynasty Dao sword. There's also a skull carved in Tibetan funeral blessings, covered in silver trim, and some signature chops.
Oh, the Chinese blocks used to ink stamp a signature.
Exactly that. The only other thing in the box of any particular interest is a leather-bound notepad.
Not so bad, as boxes of garbage go.
I'll say. I'm going to examine the notepad.
At first, it seems pretty normal. Receipts, inventory, things like that. As you start to get into the last third of that notebook, it takes a strange turn. As it starts getting weirder, you just kind of flip to the end to see, because this guy disappeared. And the end of it describes several disappearances in Essex, Massachusetts. Clipped to the page is a newspaper entry and an intriguing final note by the author, below which it looks like there's a crude map of the town of Essex with an X to the west of the town.
Let's see. It says, "That insane corpse eater forgot his place and broke the deal. He's too smart, avoiding police. Underestimated him on last batch of dust." I look to Anna and then over to the bag of dust. "Should be enough to reveal the den. Reminder, get McLeonard and deal with Gek? When we get back. No bargains," that's 3 exclamation marks. "Acquire another source for mummy or possible substitute material for the dust. Ghoul ash, perhaps." The newspaper article says, "Child missing in Essex. Herbert Barrow, age 10, has been missing for 2 days from his family home in Essex, Massachusetts. Although there's been no attempts at ransom and no evidence of abduction, local authorities have not ruled out foul play. He was last seen playing with the family dog in the woods by Lindbergh Street." Detective Hereford, the lead officer from the Essex Police Department handling the case, says 2 sweeps of the woods have failed to uncover any evidence of struggle or where he may have gone. A scent hound had been brought in yesterday to locate the boy. The hound was similarly unsuccessful, and police sources indicate that the animal refused to even traverse much of the search territory. Young Herbert's parents are extremely distraught and have offered a $100 reward for information leading to his safe return."
How fresh does the clipping look?
It's hard to tell.
And how far away is Essex?
An hour's drive, maybe less.
Well, let's see. There's further notes. "D's Necronomicon is worse than I feared. Too much left out. Must collate with Miskatonic University Edition when I have the chance." There's a sort of an itemized list here. It says, "Dream notes from page 34. Dangerously misinformed. Mind portal." I glance up at Anna, meaningfully.
I was about to sip my tea, but those words resonated with me too. I meet her gaze.
It goes on. "Connections between Yellow King and the Unspeakable. Worth risk of reading the play." And page 200, "Included from other book, summon the lost builders." Oh, I've really hit the jackpot here. All right, so it's all spread out, and I'm very excited about whatever rabbit hole I've just stumbled down. I'm going to make an occult roll to see if I can put together any kind of connection between ghoul dust, mummies, that sack full of ash maybe, or graveyard dirt.
Quick question.
Yes.
How real do you believe this is? I mean, there's a certain level of realness to it, but...
Everything is real until proven otherwise.
Okay. D4 sanity and +1 Cthulhu mythos from reading through all of this.
I rolled a 2 for sanity.
Okay, so you lose 2 points of sanity. As you take this in, read through things, look things over again, you get this uneasy feeling. It's a little bit exciting because, yeah, like you said, you seem to have stumbled onto something. And this weird little book dealer seems to have known some kind of incredible truths, and you're going to find them soon.
Hot dog.
How much do you know about this Charles Pell?
Hardly a thing, but... I saw something horrible today. A deranged man tried to outbid me. He confronted me afterwards, and he said, "I'm Charlie, and he's me." But he got me killed. Like, he said that he got me killed.
Was it Pell?
Back from the dead. I don't think so. Surely someone would have recognized him, but maybe a grave robber. He showed me an organ that was beating on its own.
Blessed mother, are you sure?
It was like a dream. It happened so fast. He said something like, "He who shall not be named killed those boys, and it's my fault." Something about a king making his entrance.
I moved to Estelle, kneeling in front of her, holding her hand. I can now see she's much more affected than she's letting on. Beloved, are you all right?
Of course. I mean, yes, yes. This is startling and strange, but darling, we might be onto something here. This is why we came to Arkham, after all.
Not for murderous grave robbers and disappearing children. If Corpse Eater isn't just an insult.
No, this reeks of paths so far to the left that it'd make even Crawley's stomach churn, but Anna, this could be exactly why we found it. To set whatever wrong has been done right and use this knowledge to light us a path forward.
We must tread lightly.
Always. Now, let's make some calls before it gets too late.
I fetch a nearby notepad.
The police station. The man who confronted me was chased by officers. Perhaps they tracked him down and he's got answers.
Uh-huh.
The newspaper clipping. We've got to find out when this was. It could have been long ago, but it's one of the last things in the journal if there's any chance that boy's alive. We've got to do something. And we'll need help. Over the past several months, I've thrown a few parties, made acquaintances, and generally kept an eye out for unusual people with a certain sense of curiosity. So, I believe it's time to call those in.
Moses Cubbenfield should still be in Boston with his publisher. I have the number.
Oh, brilliant. He told me if I had any wild stories worth chasing down, I should write him. But if he was holed up on that mountain of his, it might be a fortnight before we'd see him. He's a devil of a shot, too. Yes, perfect. Perfect. And you know, the man at the auction was an absolute vagabond. Maybe our resident hobo king could give us a lead.
He's an odd man for sure, but that is sound thinking. How should we get a hold of him?
Oh, he gave me this clever little rune to draw. I've got it written down somewhere. It turns out hobos have a secret code.
Huh?
I just put a chalk marking at the gate and we can request an audience with the king. And it just so happens that I've invited Cherry and Kenneth over for lunch tomorrow, so that's a merry little band. I think we've got it all sorted.
I like Cherry, but a gambler and a floozy.
Oh, they're fun. Besides, if you're living out of a speakeasy, you've got to know how to hold your own.
Yeah, true enough. That's all?
That's all.
Estelle, you head out to the front gate and you leave a glyph summoning the Hobo King, Oswald Sinclair. And meanwhile, Anna calls the police station. She finds out that, unfortunately, they didn't arrest anyone this afternoon. She also asks about the missing child from Essex, and it was indeed several months back around the time that Pell disappeared, but the Arkham PD tells you that as far as they know, it was never solved, and that boy is still missing. But she is able to reach Moses Reuben Cubbenfield, the mountain man turned notable author. He's delighted to hear from you and says he'll be at the Arkham train station tomorrow at noon.
Well, there's nothing left to do then but for Anna and I to prepare the manor to receive our guests, and prepare ourselves for what might be a dangerous path. We go to what was once my mother's studio, a lovely room made for capturing light. which we've converted into a modest temple to Bastet. At its center is an aged, worn bust of our feline goddess, protectress, warrior, and lover. Moonlight and incense fills the room, and we make offerings of food, our bodies, our voices, and most importantly, our love, praying for strength and illumination in the days to come.
The next day, everyone has had their call put out to them, whether it's by a personal appearance with Anna coming to collect them in the car, or by mystic hobo runes. They all eventually make their way to Thorpe Manor.
Estelle opens the door for the gorgeous and always delightful Cherry, and following not too far behind, Kenneth is waving down the driveway. I hug her, I invite her in.
Cherry arrives in her charmeuse dress. She's been here before.
Cherry, darling, it's so lovely to see you.
So good to see you as well, Estelle.
Hello, Kenneth.
Howdy, ma'am. How you doing this fine morning, afternoon, noontime? High noon? What do we got?
Low noon?
What we have is brunch.
Well, I'm right excited for that, and I happen to bring a nice new roasted chicken that I did myself last night just for this event.
Wonderful. I take it from him.
Tell you what, that's one of the finest roasted chickens I've ever made, if I do say so myself. I used the finest hickory wood that I could find, because the wood is what makes that chicken good. Tell you what.
Wonderful.
Are there going to be any games here today? Because I wouldn't mind doing a little bit of gambling around here.
I think we might have something a bit more high octane than cards, even.
Interested. Kenneth wanders on in, He's a pretty tall man, dressed in a nice brown leather suit with a brown cowboy hat, looking for a good time here at this here brunch.
I'm Moses Cubbenfield. I get the summons and return down to Arkham, Massachusetts, and such a vision as Estelle Thorpe calls upon me, I can't refuse it, even if, you know, I can't imagine a reason she would want to see my countenance. When I arrive at the manor, I'm on my best behavior, I'm smelling my best. I've cleaned up from my time in the woods, and I'm wearing a three-piece suit I just bought with my earnings, so I want to look my best, and I'm a man in my 50s. I have a scar from the war, goes up the right side of my neck, over to the right side of my face. I'm quite grisly appearing, but I keep my manners handy to try to reduce the screams.
Oh, charming to the last.
15 appearance will do that.
Yeah.
Woo! You are a sore sight for eyes.
Estelle, ma'am, I promise that if you are trying to win me over, the odds are good, but the good's odd.
I greet him with a warm hug, ever wonderful to be in the presence of such a wonderful author as Moses.
Start looking around the mansion. It's beautiful, very impressive. Feel a bit out of place, considering what I've been doing with my time, especially in a long hallway. Everything seems bigger inside this mansion than when you're out in the woods under the open sky. It's a very strange group that's been assembled, and frankly, don't know what she could use with my skills. She might need a guide of some kind. Maybe she's planning an expedition. I'm at her disposal.
Oswald Sinclair is in the parlor, already stuffing his face with so much bacon grease and bacon and 3 days worth of food. And even underneath his crushed top hat, there's the beginnings of a banquet in itself. The moment that Anna even has put down the chicken, it has barely touched the table before he has an entire leg of it shoved right into his gaping maw, right under his pencil mustache.
He's a very handsome man.
He's Clark Gable type.
In theory.
It's a good thing I was blessed with looks.
You all introduce yourselves and acknowledge one another. Certainly a bit confused, but definitely curious as to what Estelle has in store for you.
Dear friends, all of you have expressed to me at different points in time a certain degree of curiosity in the unusual, in the strange circumstances and eldritch secrets woven into the very fabric of New England, and especially Arkham. Well, it just so happens that yesterday I stumbled upon something of a genuine mystery. And I caution you, it is not for the faint of heart.
I love mysteries.
Well, let's hope this one does the trick then.
Well, this food is fantastic, by the way. I was wondering if anybody else isn't going to finish their bacon.
I think I've had all I can eat.
Very good. So, why don't you cut to the chase, my dear?
Certainly. And so I tell them all of it, sharing what little I know of Charles Pell and the items now in my possession. I read from the journal and the excerpts and provide them with a full and chilling account of my confrontation from the day before. And so you see, I worry, if indeed any of this can be believed at face value, if there is a corpse eater out there, if that has anything to do with a missing child, there are truly some sinister forces at work, desperately in need of investigation.
Well, to be fair, we're all, in a sense, corpse eaters when it comes to our food and how it's prepared, but I'm shocked by the word ghoul in here. It's an entirely different connotation.
I hope this doesn't shock you when I say that I do think that there is some reality to the grim things written in this journal.
You don't think someone ate the child, do you?
I had not jumped to that particular conclusion. I can only hope not.
That's quite dark.
My assistant Anna has made inquiries about further details in this case, but unfortunately, all we know is that it's still unsolved. Whether or not the rest of Pell's notes and unusual belongings pertain specifically to the circumstances of this missing child, that's just one of the many questions we need to ask.
So you did 100% verify that there is a child missing. Do we know anything about this child?
Only what you see here in the article. He's playing with his dog, and then gone.
You say you got some coins around here?
Yes, over here in this pile, on this table here.
Well, let me take a look at them.
As you can see, they're all quite old, ranging from time periods all throughout the most prevalent eras of the Silk Road, by my guess.
So there are more coins in the trunks?
This is everything.
This is everything, Kenneth. Right here.
You look through the coins, and one of the coins is interesting. It looks like it's from what Estella's marked it, it's from some small Southeast Asian trading outpost. And it appears to prominently feature a delicately engraved red herring.
An actual fish?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to make sure there wasn't some sort of a literary device on the coin.
Everybody, roll your education.
How do I tell that it's red? Is this a painted coin? One of those commemorative ones?
No.
If it's also thousands of years old, I was wondering how that enamel would hold up.
This one's about 400 years old, but the red herring really comes through.
So how many coins are there? Jesus Christ. The reason I ask is I might want to use sleight of hand to pocket that fish coin.
There's about 50 of them, and as you look through it, you find there are a couple of other coins that seem to have different iterations of red herrings on them.
I want to use sleight of hand and pocket the most prominent fish coin that I see.
Okay, go for it.
Are the differences between the red herrings, do they seem important?
How did you do on your sleight of hand?
61 out of 65.
Okay. You slide one of those red herring coins into your pocket. Nobody seems the wiser.
Sweet.
You did it.
I don't understand how a dumb action could make us wiser in the first place.
Spread before us, I see questions begging for answers and clues far too cryptic for the police to have a care. We've a civic duty to look closer, which I certainly won't ignore. But this all has raised a great many burning questions in me that I'd like to see answered. Questions that may, in fact, provide some greater insight into the occult landscape of this county.
Oh, we may save a missing child from a maniac.
Well, given how many months it's been, I'll admit I'm not holding out hope of us finding the boy. But if there is a chance, the answers will await us in Essex. And we've got this map in Pell's journal. It's a good enough place to start looking.
And we might find some more of these fish coins.
What about Pell? Maybe there's some clues where he lived.
We thought much the same, and I was able to check the address earlier today. All the belongings and the house were sold in separate auctions. An elderly couple live there now.
There's some other notes, though. Seems like there's a bit more to this story. The journal mentions a book. The Necronomicon?
At Miskatonic University, yes.
But it's their edition of it. In this note we have, it says, D's Necronomicon's worse than I feared, which means that Pell had a Necronomicon and has got to collate it with the Miskatonic U edition. So we need to know what the Necronomicon is and what they've added. I wonder if it's more herrings.
I roll spot for herrings. Oh, I think I failed.
And we've also got a page reference, page 34. It these. And page 200, it says, included from other book. We gotta figure out what book that is. Yellow King and the Unspeakable. It says, worth the risk of reading the play. So, is page 200 from the other book talking about the Necronomicon in relation to the play? Or is there another unmentioned book we need to review?
Well, the Necronomicon is roughly translated the Book of the Dead. That much I know. If there is a copy at the university, perhaps I can get a hold of it, at least to review it. Perhaps we should split up into two parties. A bit of research and reconnaissance. So, who wants to go to the library and who wants to shake some trees down in Essex?
I'd like to go to the library.
Wonderful.
I'll probably be tagging along at the library also.
I'll make the expedition to Essex.
I'll go with the mountain man.
Brilliant. Anna, if you could take Oswald and Moses to Essex in the car, Cherry and Kenneth and I will pop on down to Miskatonic University for some light reading. We'll all meet back here this evening?
Everyone agrees, and although the nature of the search is pretty grim, you all can't help but feel a buzz of excitement and fear as the party pairs off and prepares to search the unknown.
Before we depart, as the rest of the party gather around the car in the driveway, Anna and I share a moment in the foyer. I feel I've got the easier end of the bargain. Please be careful, love.
With Moses traveling with me, I can't imagine I have a thing to worry about. That man could wrestle a tiger to the ground and just easily talk it tame. Besides, I'm always prepared. I flash my derringer in my pocketbook.
I kiss her.
And I return the kiss. We bask in the light.
We see the unseen. Love is our strength. Love is our blade. Do a best at.
Do our best at. Let's go.
UV rays don't skip a day. Neither should your SPF. Introducing Daily UV Moisturizer from Umbrell. Broad spectrum protection and all-day hydration in one lightweight formula from the number one recommended brand by pharmacists and physicians. It's the unskippable SPF for your unstoppable day. New Umbrell Daily UV Moisturizer, now available online or at your local retailer.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
The doors are closed.
This is Todd. Todd is a horrible singer. Just awful. Despite his tone deafness, Todd knows a good deal when he sees it. This is his first drive in his new Ram truck. He just picked it up at the Ram Power Days event, where you can get 20% off MSRP for up to $14,200 in discounts on a 2023 Ram 1500 Classic. See dealer for details. Take us away, Todd.
Bought a new truck!
Look forward to new episodes of the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program Wednesdays, every other week, until this chilling tale has reached its bitter end. But why wait by the radio when you can subscribe? Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Acast? The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program lurks in every podcast player known to humankind. And please do consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts or review specific episodes and more over on Podchaser. Spread our gospel of horror that others may succumb to the maddening call. Something that absolutely can't be reiterated enough is that this program wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you. To ensure we're able to continue our efforts in actual play audio drama excellence, please consider becoming a patron of Our Dark Arts at patreon.com/nerdyshow. There you'll find copious bonus content including art, outtakes, and demos from our first series, with more extras to come. Even $1 a month makes a world of difference, and grants you access to early release episodes, including new episodes of this series. As soon as our programs are ready, they'll be delivered straight to you. But in between Cthulhu installments, don't ever be left wanting for RPG audio drama entertainment. There's lots more to discover on the Nerdy Show Network, including the high fantasy comedy Dungeons & Doritos, the poltergeist pulverizing adventures of Ghostbusters Resurrection, or the multiversal obscurities that await you in our Nerdy Show Theater feed. What's more, there's also our scripted science fiction audio drama series, The Orphans, which is in the midst of its third season presently. And Cthulhu cast member Joshua LaForge has a podcast of his own called RPG From Scratch. It's a documentary series chronicling his journey to create a tabletop role-playing game. But if the nuts and bolts of game design aren't your cup of tea, on that very same feed, you can also find Echoes of the Star Crypt, an actual play series used to test the in-development system. I hear tell it's a tale of animal people, masquerading as archaeologists or some such thing. Anyhow, you can find it all at nerdyshow.com or wherever you procure fine podcasts. The night is drawing on, and it's going to get much darker before daylight burns through the black. So how about a cheery tune about dreary things? You've heard him far and wide, from the music halls of New York City to National Public Radio to countless fine internet publications. Singer, songwriter, pianist, Mr. Julian Villard. His latest EP, Sad Dad, is out now, and recently he made quite the mark on our spooky little community with a delightful and highly appropriate ditty called H.P. Joelcraft. The perfect tune to kick off our latest endeavor in unknowable horror.
Sky was a vaporous flame. I have seen the dark universe yawning, where the black planets roll without aim, where they roll with their horror unheeded, without knowledge or luster or name. I had drifted o'er seas without ending, under sinister gray clouded skies that the many forked lightning is rending, that resounds with hysterical cries, with the moans of invisible demons that out of the green waters rise. I have plunged like a through the arches of the hoary primordial grove, where the oaks feel the presence that marches and stalks on where no spirit dares rove. I have stumbled by cave-ridden mountains that rise barren and bleak from the plain. I have drunk from the fog-fetid fountains that ooze down to the marsh and the main, and in hot, cursed tarns I have seen things I care not to gaze on again. I have scanned the vast ivy-clad palace, I have trod its untenanted hall, where the moon writhing up from the valley choose the tapestried things on the wall, strange figures discordantly woven
which I cannot endure to recall. I have peered from the casement in wonder at the moldering meadows around, at the many-roofed village laid under the curse of a grave-girdled ground. I have flown on the pinions of fear, where the smoke-belching Erebus rages, where the Jokuls loom snow-clad and drear, and in realms where the sun of the desert consumes what it never can cheer. I was old when the first pharaohs mounted the jeweled deck thrown by the Nile. I was old in those epics uncounted, when I and I only was vile. Oh, great was the sin of my spirit, and great is the reach of its doom. Not the pity of heaven can cheer it, nor can respite be found in the tomb. Down in the infinite eons come beating the wings of unmerciful gloom. Through the ghoul-guarded gateways of slumber, past the wan moon abscesses of night, I have lived all my lives without number. I have sounded all things with my sight, and I struggle and shriek ere the daybreak, being driven to madness with fright.
Thanks for listening to the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. And be sure to subscribe to our series via your favorite podcast player to get all the latest episodes. Episode 1, The Dark Bidding, was written and performed by Luke Stram, Cap Blackard, Nikki Holland, John Sebastian Laval, Boar, and Joshua LaForge, with additional vocal performances by Melody Pereira and Doug Banks. The series is edited and produced by Colin Peterson and Cap Blackard, and the original score is composed and performed by Ryan McQuinn and Mike McQuinn of Neon Dolphin, home for all your custom music needs and more, neondolphinmusic.com. For full episode credits and links to where you can purchase this series' original score, as well as character sheets and other supplemental material, visit CthulhuMystery.com. The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program is proudly played using Chaosium's Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition, available at fine role-playing retailers everywhere. This program and all programs on the Nerdy Show Network are made possible by the support of listeners like you. With special thanks to our Patreon producers, Isabiz, Allison Parent, David Van Pelt, Evan Valmel, Hoodoo Voodoo, Jamieson Lalone, Dr. Talos, Joshua Westfall, R. Scott Diedrich, Sean T. Red, and Zombie Pops. Join us at patreon.com/nerdyshow or head to nerdyshow.com/support for additional ways to contribute. All characters appearing are fictitious, and any resemblances to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This has been the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Good night.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
The influence of Freemasonry is undeniable, but who are these mysterious apron-wearing craftsmen, and what are they up to? For centuries, hater-ass conspiracy theorists have attempted to answer these questions.
Two Flat Earthers Kidnap a Freemason, starring Zane Schacht as Randy Dunning, Lauren Grace Thompson as Gail Kruger, and Matthew Woodcock as Walter Clay.
I just want to go on the record right now and say that I, Randy Dunning, am 100% anti-gravity.
Like, subscribe, and share your way to the truth when two Flat Earthers kidnap a Freemason.
And that's this week's show. Please check for show notes for today's feature at sonicsociety.org.
If we could get to the webpage once the feature was gone, but so were we. I can't make out anything.
Yes, and it looks like the trail's gone cold. Our Mr. Crow has flown the nest, it seems.
So you're saying we're in Nowhereville?
Jack, that's brilliant!
It is?
Of course! It's the best way out of this!
What is?
Oh, all in good time, my friend, all in good time. Until next week!
I hate cliffhangers.
Ah, I had forgotten about your thing with heights.
That's not what I meant!
This has been a Sonic Cinema production.